Good morning, church. So just let me sort some things out. Then I'll get to it. All right. Good morning and good to be back with you guys. You know, I like the Christmas carols we just sang. It's a good reminder that we are in a season of celebration. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we spend a lot of time celebrating our events, but we don't put much effort in celebrating events of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And sometimes Christmas has lost its meaning. I love the Christmas carols. It really brings back that feeling of Christmas. Today we have a lot of pop Christmas, pop songs, and I don't know, my kids listen to a different brand of Christmas songs, heavy metal and whatever they have, but I still go back to the old ones. I'm very traditional in Christmas, and I thought it's a good time to share with you a wonderful message for Christmas. But this morning I want to tell you a story, and the whole message is in the story. Amen? If you have time, just listen to the story that I'm going to share. And I built this message just inside the story, taken from the gospel reading of 1 John chapter 5, reading 6 to 12. It's a beautiful song. How many of you have gone around shopping to buy gifts for Christmas? I was in Eastland. I don't like shopping, but my wife brings me along. I said, and you know, just in Eastland, instead of shopping, I'm meeting up with people and talking. But you know, everybody is rushing to pick up the right gift for the right friend. It's not random shopping. You don't do that, any, mini, minor, more, grab this one for M. Any, mini, minor, grab this one for Reverend Jen. No, I think it's very specific. People going with the intent to choose to buy what they want for the list of people they have in mind. Isn't that clear? And so because they are so intense, they keep looking, just walking around. And I am not intense because I don't like shopping. While my wine shops, I sit in the cafe or I have coffee. Sometimes I have four coffees in the week. Because she looks at this shop, she can look at any shop. I don't know what. I look at the shop and I've seen one. I know the whole shop already. But just shopping, and she will take the list and who she wants to buy. And I thought, wow, we put so much of effort, we waste so much of time, so much of money, just for one wrapping, and it's all gone. And I wonder the value of that gift. Is it in the effort or in the cost? Though some people say this, it's an old saying, it's not the size of the gift, it's a pot. Isn't that true? But today I doubt that it is valid. My kids always are, that is so small. Yeah. Just the other day we were walking and he said, my kids, daddy, what are you going to buy for us? I said, buy for you. You are now 20 older. You working. You got girlfriend. And you want me to buy? How about buying for you? But you know, we all want to buy gifts. And it's so excited to buy gifts. I don't know about you, but just seeing my kids with my wife running around, looking at gifts, buying whatever God is on their mind that they want to buy. And I thought for a moment, as a church, as a Christian, what can I give the world? What can I give my friends? If those who come to me, how can I give them something that is worthwhile? Something they can take away, something they can remember. And I thought for a moment, I want to tell you the story. There's a man, a father, mother, and a son. It's a true story. Three of them were a well-knitted family, a God-fearing family. They loved the Lord. And they had one passion. From young, the dad, when he was a young man, he came from a wealthy background. He inherited a lot of wealth from his father. They loved collecting artworks. You know artworks? Not just photography, art, hand-painted canvas. And they would buy all the good, top ones. And they had a beautiful house on about 5 acre land, and they had such a beautiful lounge area. They would decorate all the areas with the most expensive artwork. And the son also grew up to love the hobby of his dad. You know, it's a three-generation thing, eh? And they would buy every holiday they go out, they buy same things. I don't know about you, but can you imagine always buying the same thing? Artwork. Their holidays is go seeking for artwork, paintings. Wow. And they loved it. And so they grew and the kid grew up. Then one day, this young man reached his age of 20. And in the country they live, it was a conscription year. Meaning all young men would be conscripted into the army because there was a little war going on in Central Europe. And so this young man got conscripted. But before he went, he told his dad, "Dad, I'll be in the army for 2 years. When you go on your next holiday, try to get this artwork." Then he saw on the catalog what are the artworks out there. And his dad said, "Not to worry." The dad said, "I won't go until you come out." He said, "Okay, good." So he went in the army, finished his basic military training. 6 months later, he gets a posting to the front war zone. Goes there. The dad and mom doesn't hear any news because he's in the front line. And then suddenly one morning they sit and do their devotion, mom and dad. They hear a knock on the door. And they open up, they see two military officers well dressed. And immediately it dawned upon them, something's wrong with their son. And the officer said, "Sir, can we come in and sit with you and chat?" And he said, "Come, sure." And then when he came in, they sat down and then they told the story of what happened to their son. He was in a covert operation, doing something behind the lines, and in that operation, he got shot dead. He got killed. And it shattered the father and mother's heart. They were closely knitted, God-fearing family. And then the father thought about the plans to go and buy this artwork. And all the dreams shattered. And when the two officers left, the mom and dad sat down and they wept their heart out. They cried. They cried. They cried. And because of that incident, the mother went into depression. Hey, that's a holy son. You know, a mom feels the loss greater than a dad. I don't know why, but maybe because you carry the baby. The mom went into depression. And in the depression, it led to a time where she neglected her own health. She neglected her diet. And every day, and not even more than 6 months, the mother passes away. And the old man sits there with all the wealth of the artwork, with a beautiful property, but an emptiness in his life. He lost the two beautiful people in his life. And just as he's going through another few months of grieving, he gets another knock on the door. And he sees a young soldier with his arms wrapped up in bandage, on crutches, said, "Sir, can I come in?" And the father said, "Yes, please." And this young man took a seat, he spoke to the dad, he said, "I am your son's best mate in the army. We were mates." He said, "In the year that your son was with me in the army, he taught me how to paint, to draw. He inspired me to go into creative arts." And this young man brought a little portrait of what he did for the father. And the dad said, "What is it?" He said, "Look at it." When the dad unwrapped it, he saw this young man had drawn a photograph of his son in military uniform and everything. And the dad looked at it, he cried, "Look, his son." And so the young man told him, "Sir," he said, "your son saved my life. I'm alive because he took whatever came." And he said to the old man, he said, "Sir, if there's anything I can be to you like a son, feel free to call on me. I will take care of you. I promise your son that I'll take care of you." And the dad said, "Thank you very much." And the young soldier left. When the young soldier left, you know what the father did? He took this little artwork that he did. He climbed up on his lounge. He removed the most expensive one from the center and he put his son's photograph up. And for 2.5 years, the father just was in recluse. He just sat there and he reminisced about his son, his wife, his life, and he just enjoyed that. His collection of art was more in dollar value than a lot of people out there. He was the envy of the collectors. He had so much of things that people wanted. And so the old man's health began to deteriorate. he was losing his health, and then he decided to go and see a lawyer, prepare a will, and within a year and a half, he passed on. When he passed on, the collectors out there were excited to a certain extent. They knew that the artwork would be put up for sale. It's a collector's dream. It's a collector's desire to own these things. And so 2 years and a half after the old man passed away, the auctioners sent out a flyer and advertisement. They were going to hold a massive artwork. The collection of that artwork, the value was close to $400 million. Market value was $400. And so every collector, every hobbyist who did this was looking forward to that day. Wow, they said this is the time all this will be flooding the market. And so the day came, the auctioneer gathered each one of them in their rooms, made sure they stayed in the room, made sure they didn't go out. They got a room and they expected only 200 hobbyists. But to their surprise, they had almost 1,000 people turn up to buy the artwork. You know, for an auctioneer, you smile because your commission is going to be good, eh? Every pop means your pocket is full, eh? Every pop, another one, wow! You know, when you got more people, you can stretch the value. When you got two or three people, there's not much of an excitement, eh? So the day came, everybody came. Some of them came with their wives, some came with their secretaries, but for sure, everybody came with their checkbook. Because at an auction, you got to pay straight away, either a deposit or full amount. And so that morning came, everybody packed in, the room was packed, people were excited, people were frustrated, people were just agitated, just come on, let's get on with the show. We want to buy up everything, eh? And so the auctioneer comes up, calls the meeting to order, and he said, we are going to auction off today $400 million worth of artwork. There was a hush in the room. $400 million. Just give me $4 million and I'll retire. And so the auctioneer gets ready. He said, we are going to auction off the first item. So he gets his helpers to bring out the first item. They mount it up and everybody looks at it and they give a sigh of disgust. Ah, because they were going to auction off the artwork of the sun, the soldier who drew the sun's photograph. And everybody looked at it and said, is that artwork? It's not a masterpiece. So the auctioneer said, I will start from 100, 100, 100, any takers, 100, no, 90, 90, no. They get down to 60, 60, no, 50, no one wants to buy. And then suddenly from far back, somebody shouts out, I'll give you £10 and take it. And the auctioneer said, £10 going, £10, any other offer, £10, pop, gone. So, the moment he sold that, all the other auctioneers said this, wow, let's get to the real thing now. Let's get to the real thing, that's why we are here. So, in the process, the auctioneer gets this guy who purchased to come down to see, get his documentation, get everything worked up. And then in the process, there's a bit of a delay and everybody gets irritated. Come on, let's get on. We flew in, we come across, let's get to the work. And then after the settlement, the auctioneer walks up to the restroom. He looks at everybody and he said, that's the end of the auction for today. And everybody said, but what about the 400 million? And then he opens up a little document. And in the document it says this, the will of the Father is he who gets the Son gets everything. He who gets the Son, he who buys this one, gets everything as a gift. And this morning we read 1 John chapter 5. Can I get the verse out? 1 John chapter 5 verse 11 and 12. He says, he who has the Son has eternal life. How true. In the quests of our lives, we go for all the peripherals. But he who gets a sin, gets it all. The moral of the story is this, friend. We chase for the peripherals. We don't chase for the primary. This world in Christmas is looking for all gifts, temporal, just to win favor, to tell you I care. It's all about that. After Christmas Day, Boxing Day, when everything is over and dies down, there's still emptiness in their heart. The gift you gave only lasted for 25th December. But the story is, he who has the Son has eternal life. This Christmas, the best gift is to give eternal life to someone. It costs you nothing in this gift, but the value is greater than all the gifts of this world for that person. The gift of life. And this morning I want to journey with you on next slide. What do you get? If somebody asks you, yes, if I receive Jesus, what do I get? You know, that's a very common question asked by people. What's it in for me? What is it in for me? What do I get? We are all Asians, we ask that, eh? Let's be honest, I'm Asian also. I look different, but I am. Somebody is arguing, Pastor Mitchell, you're not Asian. I say, hello, you are telling me I'm not Asian? I know myself better than you, so I'm telling you I'm Asian. He said, but you don't look. I said, tell me what does an Asian look like? And then he can. What does an Asian look like? What's the definition look of an Asian? Black hair? I got no hair, it's okay. You know, sometimes people know, and I said, no. And then I said, listen, in life, there's something we're looking for to give us an identity, to give us a sense of value, to give us a hope to come on. And this morning I want to share with you this. Number one, when you get the Son of God, number one, you get a total forgiveness of all your past. No gift, no thank you, no apology can take away the past of your life. As far as the east is from the west, so has the Lord removed your sins in one act of forgiveness. In one act of restoration, in one act of just swiping the slate, you're clean. You can get total forgiveness. All your sins, past, present, future, will fail because of Jesus, for by grace, unmerited favor, you have been saved. Just think, that man paid £10. £10! And he got the whole lot in this world. You don't have to pay £10. Jesus paid it on the cross for you. All you need to do is say, Lord, I receive you. Forgive me. The most powerful appeal, the most powerful word of mitigation, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You can find total forgiveness in life. You know, we always say that I can forgive you, but I cannot forgive it. Unless I get dementia. Unless I meet my good old friend L. Alzheimer, and then I will forgive. But no one except Jesus can forget your past. When you get the Son, the package is you get total forgiveness. Number two, not only do you get forgiveness, number two, you have peace with God. You know, if you look at it, we are living in the most turmoil times of our lives. People blow up hotels, people blow up train stations, people blow up cafes. We are living in days and times. There is no peace. Peace has become an expensive commodity. Peace has become something we strive for. Peace of heart. We talk peace, we champion peace, but we carry out laws. Peace within the family, peace within your relationship, peace within your church, your workplace, peace within your life. There's no peace. Constant hostility, constant conflict, constantly going through desires. Only God. Because you receive Jesus, the package is you receive peace. He who gets a Son gets peace. No Son, no peace. Somebody says, you get the Son, you get peace. No Son, you get pieces. Isn't that clear? The saddest is you see families fighting, families break up, kids. Peace of God. The world, on that Christmas night, peace was born. The Prince of peace came into this world. For unto us a son is born. He's come into this world to bring peace. And if you look at lives today, families are, we constantly have a lot of tension within lives. Number three, if you have the Son of God, not only do you have peace, but you have a special place. You bring again. You're born into the family of God, the highest family in the hierarchy of families. That's the mother of all families, the family of God. Amen? To be a child of God, it's a high calling. You know, I was back in Singapore last year, and I was going through the customs. It's with the immigration. And then the Aussie passport, you know, you notice in the Aussie passport, they don't put race. Check, and you see Malaysian Singapore passport, the race. So when I went to the Singapore passport, the guy looked at me and said, what is your race? And I look at the guy, and I said, why does it concern you? He said, no, because the form in Singapore is a form to fill out race. I said, human race. He said, I know, but what race? I said, I only know two things, human race or animal. I'm human. And I put down human race. Actually, why do you ask me what race? If you ask me nationality or ethnicity, ethnic group is okay, but race, I mean human race, what else? What else can I say? Alien? Half-alien, half-human? I mean human race, I think I'm human. And he got angry, he said, you talk to my officer, I said, bring your officer. I said, I'm a human, what else can I write? He said, what, are you Singapore, Malay? I said, nationality, Australian. I don't know what his race, I said. And I thought sometimes, you know, we go through all this, but you know, the day you receive it, you're just one. You're one, you're a Christian. You become one. You're the child of God. What is your identity? I'm a child, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. God gives us an identity. The world confuses us with our identity, eh? I think sometimes they confuse you, eh? You know, for example, you call me pastor. My wife call me honey. My kids call me daddy. Now, I'm also confused, eh? When I go to the bank, I'm just a statistic, a digit number. I go to the hospital, I'm a patient. See how many identities I have? And sometimes it's confusing. When you work in the bank, they call you banker. And then tomorrow you leave the bank, you work in a retail, they call you retailer. Look, it's a bit confusing. And now even to complicate matters, schools are told not to teach gender. Don't teach boy and girl. But teach what? In America, it's illegal to use gender terms now. They want to use neutral. Hi guys. No, hi students. From young, you don't teach him his identity. When he grows up, he becomes distorted. Am I boy, half girl, half dog, half cat? I don't know. But you know, we were lost in that world. God came and saved us and gave us one massive identity change. I'm a child of God. Amen? I'm so proud. My Father is God. He lavishes his love. Identity. To be born again. It's a gift, friend. You don't have to earn, you don't have to take a legal document. It was all legalized on the cross. To be born again. This Christmas, when you give someone, give him the next one, give him the gift of eternal life. Eternal life. Let me just bring clarity. Eternal life doesn't mean I live and I don't die. Nah. This body, this carnal flesh will die. The life within this body will live forever. The body is not life. What's inside that keeps this body up is called life. Sometimes we miss it. We think external is life. Or oh, if I have a job, I have a good life. Whereas, idiot. It's not the job that gives you life. It's life in you that gives you an opportunity to get a job. Think about it, eh? Think of those in the hospital who are lying down. They will give anything to get up and walk. Life is to give somebody the gift of eternal life. This way, you know, I just had a message. I'm in contact with my brother pastors a church in the Middle East for the last 20 years, right in Iraq, back then. And of lately, thousands by hundreds of thousands of Muslims are becoming Christian. He said on last two Sundays in his church, 20,000 salvations. You know why? What's happening with their own faith has challenged them to look at the Christian faith. The Christian faith doesn't kill life. The Christian faith treasures life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you what? Not angpao, not yang chai. I have come to give you life, abundant life. The gift of God is life. A lot of times we think God gave us love. No, He can love you. If you have no life, love means nothing to you. But if you have life, all things matter to you. Isn't that true? Give somebody that he who gets the Son gets eternal life. Wow. You know, in Malaysia, Singapore, we got 4-in-1 or 3-in-1. Kopi, or sugar, milk. Now they got 4-in-1. Kopi, sugar, milk, bilan. I said, gosh. 4-in-1. Serious. Somebody just came up from Malaysia. I said, do you want coffee? No, I said, don't take that. The smell knocked me off that. But no, we talk of 3-in-1. Do you know God is a God that gives us holistic gifts? He didn't give us singular gifts. Look at it carefully. Whenever he gives us holistic for all of us. Complete. He always gives complete. Even when he died on the cross, he said, it is complete, it's finished. Nobody has to add on anything. Give the gift of eternal life. Next one, not only you get eternal life, but you get the privilege of having this big God live in you. You know, there are two massive miracles in the Bible. It's so hard for the world to comprehend. In Genesis, when God created Adam, this is a real mystery. He looked at Adam, he gave him the dogs, the cats, the trees, the lakes, everything. But he saw Adam was still not complete, right? And then he thought, hey, poor fellow, he's got no partner. So I make him go to sleep. And then when he woke up, he said, whoa, he got a woman next to him, huh? Woman, that's why they said woman, the name came from there. Woman, a woman is here. And that was the mystery. Out of one, he made two. And in Ephesians, in weddings, it's another mystery. Two become one now. Only God can do. One to two, two to one. It decodes the mysteries of God. In marriage, it's two become one. Even though two different personality, but the idea of marriage is two become one. And if you look at this, we become a place where God lives. You know, I don't know about you, but if you travel to Asia, Central Asia, and if you go to a country like Angkor Wat and all, you don't go in a temple without following the house rules. Because to them, the spirit lives in the temple. You go to a mosque, you got to cover your head, take off your shoes, because the idols, the respect if the spirit lives in here. But you know, for Christians, how good it is. Somebody can come to church with tongues, shoes, it doesn't matter. You know what? Because the spirit lives in us. That's the distinctive difference of Christianity to the rest of the world. Our God lives in us. That's why he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, take care. By receiving Jesus, you not only receive him by lips, but you receive him into your life. God lives with you. In the days of old, God lived in the tabernacle. God lived in the Ark of the Covenant. God lived in whatever celebration. Came to Jesus. He broke bread. He said, now I live with you. I live with you. So actually, I'm the church, you know? You're the church. But God lives in us. God lives with us. And that's a powerful testimony of the Christian. My God lives with me. Which is good and bad. Good is, if you do good, good. If you do bad, you are what? Bless your name, God, huh? Think about it. I'll come back next time and talk to you about that. But next one. He who gets the Son gets this guarantee. This is a guarantee. Nothing. No circumstance, no person, no event can separate you from the love of God. You know, we all like, you know, I like to be loved. How many of you like to, honestly, I like to be loved, huh? You know, we were created for two reasons. We were created to love and to be loved. The sad thing is when you start loving people and you never feel loved, you feel empty. Or some of us just love people, love, but we don't feel love. Or we so self-consumed about love me, we don't care about anyone. We were created with this capacity to be loved and to love. And when we receive God, He guarantees seal, sign, seal, and secure, nothing will take away His love. You can sin, you can get angry, you can do anything, nothing will take His love away from you. It's just like a parent, you know, like the Bible says, how can a mother discard a father? Because the mother carried the baby. As much as the mother is hurt, the love is there. She may say words, she may do action, but the love of the mother is always in there. Or they say love is the lifeline of each one of us. We love blood. Blood is thicker than water, but blood in itself is the lifeline. That God gives us life. Nothing can take. Nothing. Just listen, the emphasis is on the word nothing. Not something or anything. He says nothing. Nothing can take the love of God. He who has the Son has eternal love from God. God loves you, friend. This Christmas, even if people don't buy you a gift, remember, you have the greatest gift in your life. The gift of Jesus Christ. The gift of love. What the world needs more is love. Jesus said, love one another as I love you, that the world may see me in you. Love of God. Love is a four-letter word, but it's a loaded word with actions. Love. Just saying I love you is not enough. Buying a gift and saying I love you is not enough. Love is willing to die for what you love. What did Jesus say? There is no greater friend than one who will die for you. He loves you. God gives you. When you get the Son, you get this assurance of love. Lastly, when you become His Son, you inherit His kingdom. Hallelujah. All His assets, all His wealth, everything that He owns is yours. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a powerful knowledge? He chose you to give you. Phew. He chose you and He gives you. It's like a legal document. When you adopt somebody into the family through the legal adoption, that person becomes just like a normal kid that has every right to inheritance. Every right. And you and I, when we receive the Son, little did we know, we actually inherited the kingdom of God. We are heirs, joint heirs. We are royalty. I am rich. Not in this life, but in an eternal life. Therefore, if this be what you get when you get the Son, wouldn't you want to bring this gift to the ones you love? Someone that means a lot to you, somebody that you care. Give the gift of life. They say the gift of love gives gift of life. Love someone, share with them the Son. He who gets the Son, remember 1 John 5:11, he who has the Son has eternal life. People can be good guys, philanthropic, genuine, but if they don't love Christ, they don't have eternal life. I'm not judgmental, I'm not critical, I'm not trying to blame God. The Bible says so. You know, when I was young, when my kids were young, we loved this song. Wherever we go in church, when they sing this song, my kids get excited. You know, people like this, Jesus loves me, yes, I know, for the Bible tell me so. They will say, Daddy, your name. I say, yes, my name is in the Bible. Jesus loved me, yes, and for the Bible tells me so. We are loved. But you know, I tell you, friend, the world doesn't know the love of God. And sometimes we are fractured in our own love with God. And because we are fractured, we portray a fractured picture of the love of God. How many of you keep a fractured mirror to see your face and comb your hair? My mirror is so shining. When I look, I can see where the hair fell off, where one is growing. But you know, the fractured love we have shows a fractured love of God that we worship. But if your love is intact, the world can see the love of God. Amen? This Christmas is a time to share. Time to bring love to someone. People are more susceptible to Christian message in Christmas. They know that the whole event is a celebration. It's the best time to evangelize, a best time to hit your neighbors. It's the best time to hit your enemies with a message that Jesus loves you. Amen? Church, get the sun. And you get everything in life. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, when you sent Jesus to die, you had one intent in your heart, Lord, that you loved us so much, and you were willing to give your only son, that we may be saved, Lord. And in that salvation act, you gave us more than we deserved and expected, Lord. You gave us a lot more of opportunities there. You told us that if you pick me, I give you everything. May this be the message this Christmas, Lord. He that gets the Son gets eternal life. The world needs to know that you are still giving out gifts every day, Lord. The gift of salvation, the gift of life, the gift of love, the gift of hope. May we who have received it share it with someone, Lord. Bless this church through the Christmas time. Bless our families through the Christmas time. May we be living Christmas testimonies for the world, Lord, of the love of God. May our light shine that the world may see you in us, Lord. May we bring life and light to darkness and hatred, Lord. Love can overcome hatred, Lord. Hatred cannot overcome hatred, Lord. Love overcomes, Lord. Light overcomes darkness. Darkness cannot overcome light, Lord. May we take this Christmas message to our hearts and we live this Christmas message for the world to see, Lord. As you bless this year, as we close this year, Lord, for all the struggles, the heartaches, the failures, the pains, the whatever we went through, the joys, the celebration, the hilarity, the good news, whatever happened this year, Lord, we want to close this year and say, Father God, we believe you give us a better year next year, Lord, because our lives are in your hands, Lord. Thank you for this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church.